Okay. Hey, Di, how are you? And we got another show tonight, Angel Coaches. So welcome us both, right? We're excited to be here. And why don't you tell everybody what we're going to talk about, if that's okay. So, cool.
We are talking about soulmates because it's Valentine's Day coming up. So that was kind of a fun topic. Everybody's wanting their sweetheart. Of course, we hate, you know, we hate the diamond commercials coming on this time of year. And, of course, everyone on television seems to be hooked up with someone. So, you know, a lot of my friends say, oh, happy Singles Recognition Day, which it certainly is.
I like that.
But, you know, yeah, Valentine's Day is you know, just kind of that love day, the happy hearts day. So we have, you know, we decided soulmates was a good topic because we have a lot of questions about soulmates and different kinds of soulmates. What kinds are they? There's three different kinds that we always talk about. There's, you know, companion soulmates, there's karmic soulmates, and there's that twin flame, twin soul relationship soulmates. So so that's our topic. And I'll let you add anything else that you want because you're the kind of the expert on this.
You know what? Thank you so very much. It wasn't so long ago somebody wrote an article about me and called me the soulmate coach. I was like, really? I was like, okay, I'll take it. But because, you know, people, they call for love or money, right? You know, that's mm-hmm. basically what I get. And I know you have the same experiences, but soulmates are, everybody wants their soulmate. And what I think is humorous is, you know, I've got a client right now. She's also a friend, and I've known her for a few years. And she says, Cherie, why do we have so many problems? And if this is my soulmate, why doesn't it work mm-hmm. better? And that's a big question, you know. So people think that if they get the soulmate of their dreams, that's what they're asking for, then the soulmate of their dreams is going to come, or the perfect soulmate for them, right? You've heard that before. Mm-hmm. People have said, I want my perfect soulmate. And what I realized a long time ago, and you and I've talked about this on several different occasions, is that the soulmate for you is not necessarily the one that you think that is the man or the woman of your dreams, man or woman of your dreams, because wherever you are, that's what you're going to attract. You know what I mean? So
right.
If you have issues, because I told her, I said, you have issues with control, manipulation. I said, you bash each other to each other's family and friends, and yet when he does it to you, you get upset, but you do the same thing mm-hmm. to him, right? So they're soulmates,
right?
So what kind of soul? And I sent her the soulmate, the three different kinds of soulmates that they are. You know, the karmic one, which is they're balancing a karma in this lifetime from a past lifetime, and that's what karmic soulmates are. You can add to that, you know, that's what I feel karmic is, karmic soulmates.
Right.
It's not fun, but you're drawn to them. You
know, it's a temporary.
Yeah.
Right. I feel like karmic soulmates are a temporary, it's like this mad, passionate kind of love. It's like you're really attracted to somebody and you're really drawn to someone and you feel like, oh, my God, this is it. This is the love of my life. And it's a very difficult relationship. There's a lot of struggles. And it's like as soon as you both, you know, learn the lesson you're meant to learn from each other, boom, it's over. It's like it's over as soon as it began, you know, and you just look at back and go, wow, that was like a tumultuous kind of a relationship, but you're just brought together really to balance some karma. So it's usually a short term. I don't ever look at karmic soulmates as like a long-term relationship. Do you?
It can be. It depends on how fast you get the lesson
mm-hmm.
or how fast you can bounce it off. Okay, so,
mm-hmm.
you know, I have a friend of mine, another client, and she met a guy and back in 2012, and she, you know, I said, stop calling him. Stop doing that. Let him reach for you. And long story short, she didn't, you know, and he left, and she's here, you know, waiting for a guy. She met a guy. And, you know, and he, you know, he moved out, sent her a text and just moved out one weekend. And she went back to the other guy and she goes, why am I still attracting this kind of guy? Because they were both very similar. But I said, first of all, you didn't learn a lesson. Second of all, you got karma with both of those guys. And she goes, okay, I want to balance the karma. That's all you really need to do. Because she says, what kind of karma is it? And so it's a past life thing with her. You know what I mean? It's also
mm-hmm.
a current life thing with, you know, compromising yourself for a man, you know, and people do it all the time. And so she did that in a past life with him where he took advantage of her, and, you know, both of these guys did. And now she's got, you know, and so they agreed to come back and balance the karma between them. And so here they are. And so she says, I want to balance the karma, and I want to be happy, and I want to find the love of my life. And I don't want anything less than the love of my life. I go, great. So how do you feel about that? And it took her about 5 years. 4 to 5 years, yeah. 5 years.
Mm-hmm.
So what's your thoughts on that? You know, karmic relationship. Karmic.
Well, I know. Well, I guess,
and by the way, yeah,
Oh, go ahead.
I was going to say really quickly that they're not only romance relationships, okay, but they also can be family relationships, business relationships as well, depending on what kind of karma you're balancing. Anyway, sorry.
Oh, yeah. But, yeah, I mean, that's definitely, I think a lot of karmic relationships are not romantic relationships. We just happen to be talking about romantic relationships, you know, for the show, but certainly all of these different kinds of soulmates are, you know, anybody. It's your family, your friends, whatever. But I guess the karmic relationship, yeah, it could be a lifetime, and that would be horrible, I would think.
Yeah, right? Can you imagine fighting and arguing?
Yeah.
It's called existing and living in a relationship. Anyway, but anyway, that's the story. Go ahead.
But, well, what was your question? I guess I'm confused. No,
you didn't, because you said it can last a lifetime. That would be miserable. Maybe some of the relationships that we see that just exist rather than having fun and growing, and, you know, is that a karmic relationship? Probably, right? A karmic soulmate relationship, you know, so probably, right? I'm not going to say until you really look at it or until they really look at it. But, and, you know, before you say anything else, I just say, all you have to do is say, I choose to balance the karma, and then watch out. Because when you do that, they can be really fast, right? You know, why is this happening to me? I mean, my experiences with relationships have been karmic, and, you know, all these kind of things, companion, twin soul. But what is your experience yourself, like with your is this okay, your love life? Because I know you've got some sweet stories, you know.
I know, you know, it's funny because I met this love of my life. He's the love of my life 8 years ago, and timing has not been our friend. But he felt like a true soulmate. And I remember at the time you kept telling me he's really your twin flame, and it didn't work out at the time. And you know, here 8 years later, I feel like time is finally on our side, and you know, getting back together with him. And it's you know, it's like the greatest relationship I've ever had in my life. It always was, because it feels like, you know, a hand in a glove. I mean, it feels like it just fits. It always felt like it just fit. It just wasn't, the right time. But, you know, the twin flame, twin soul, that's a tough relationship sometimes, because it's like you're looking at yourself in the mirror and you see all your best qualities, but you also see all your worst qualities, and it's like you're living with your alter ego. You're living with your bad self.
The not fun one, so, right? You know? Yeah.
Yeah. So, that's true. So you really, it's almost like you have to learn to love yourself before you can really learn to love your twin flame, I think. And so it's kind of been a long process for me with this man to really finally get to the point where we're both ready to connect. And I think that's a really important thing with the twin flame relationship, is that you both have to be ready. You both have to be ready for that great relationship, because it's going to challenge you. It's not just like a companion soulmate relationship where we're just, you know, it's an easy relationship. You're walking side by side together. The twin flame relationship will always challenge you to be the best that you can be. It's not going to let you just slack off, you know?
Right.
And so, you know, you both have to be willing for that. No, go ahead. Go ahead. I'm done talking. Go ahead.
No, you know, the twin flame can be very difficult, okay? And it's still a comical thing. But when you get it, it's like, It's like heaven, just like you and yours are experiencing.
Yes, it is. It's the greatest thing in the world. It really is. All right, so the twin flame relationship, it can be very challenging. You know, it's really the hardest relationship as far as a soulmate relationship. And it's like both of you have to be ready. So if one of you is really not ready for that challenging relationship, it's just not going to work. And it's a relationship that, as you've talked about before, it doesn't come around every lifetime. It's a tough one. It's a tough one as far as being a romantic relationship, I should say. Sometimes your twin flame comes back as your partner, as your best friend. You know, twin flames don't have to be your romantic partner. But since we're talking about romantic relationships on this show, we're going to talk about the twin flame a little bit more. So this person, it's like looking in a mirror, and you see your best qualities and you see your worst qualities. And, you know, it's almost like you're being in love with yourself when you're loving them. And it just can be a very hard relationship. It's not that always that easy, easy companion soulmate relationship. And so when people say, you know, I want my twin flame, I want my twin soul, sometimes I think they don't always know what they're talking about. It's like, be careful what you ask for, because what they really want is this love of their life, but it doesn't have to be the twin flame love. It can be a companion soulmate love, which I think is probably the most common one. And would you agree with that, Cherie, as far as romantic relationships, it's like just the companion soulmate, probably the most common one that you see?
Yeah, companion soulmates are the ones that are the most common. The companions are wonderful. How do you think? About that one, the companion one.
I absolutely, you know, it's like they're the easy one to be with. It's like this person has agreed to come into this life with you and walk beside you and really be your friend and be supportive, and you support them. And there's not a lot of like this bad karma between you that you're balancing. It's like your best friend's on the other side, and you say, okay, let's walk this life together, this next life together, and I'll be your romantic partner. And there's just, it's not a difficult relationship. It's an easy relationship to be in. And so when people are saying, I want my soulmate, you know, a lot of people say, I want my twin flame, but I don't think they really understand what that means. I think they think that twin flame must be the only kind of romantic soulmate you can have, but it's different. There's different kinds of soulmates, and it's basically soul agreements that we've made with another soul before we enter this world. And, you know, we're all family on the other side. So on the other side, we're all sitting around and we're saying, okay, you know, we're going to come into the next life together. And, you know, there's that one soul that is like your other half, and you may not always incarnate with that soul. They may need to learn something from somebody else. But if you agree to come in and you agree to have that lesson together, you're going to be challenged sometimes. You're going to be always challenged to be your best. And it doesn't mean it has to be a hard relationship, but it's one that you can't be lazy in. And I've discovered that. And I've discovered that with the man that I truly believe is my twin flame. He and I have to be our best to be with each other. We cannot just be lazy. And while we absolutely enjoy laying around, watching football, having, you know, eating, drinking, laughing, it's still, you know, just a conversation challenges us both to be our better self. And so it's like you can't both be sloths, and you can't just both lay there and not have any higher consciousness conversation. You know, you're going to have to talk about things that really have meaning in life, you know. So it's a relationship. You know, it's taken me 8 years to finally feel like, okay, I'm ready for this. He's ready for this. Maybe time will work. So I think of Elizabeth Taylor and Richard Burton as people that were really right. Probably twin flames. Yeah, don't you think? But also,
I agree with you on that. Yeah, I kind of love it, but they were twins. I was on that too as well. There was nothing. I think who else was? Johnny Cash and his wife, the second wife. Johnny and James Cash, right? They said that was a really good old story. You know. I hope I'm coming through okay to you. So that was a true story. But what do you think about that one? That was a true and fun one. And remember, they had a hard time getting together. I think they right. Is that right? Yeah.
Yes, that is. I mean, I don't remember all of it. And of course, the movie. You know, I've seen the movie, and I'm sure it's not completely accurate. But yeah, that struggle to get together. That's usually not just like a companion soulmate, because like the companion soulmate partner, it's usually just easy. It's this person you meet, you connect with, and you just feel like, oh, they feel comfortable. But you don't. It's never hard. It's just like this easy relationship. And so, you know, when we kind of look across the great love stories through the ages, those probably are never going to be companion soulmates that we're looking at. We're always looking at either twin flame soulmate relationships or karmic relationships where there was this volatility and this, you know, love-hate kind of stuff going back and forth.
Right.
Because I think the karmic relationships are a little more, just a little more volatile. There's some hard lessons in there that you're both learning. They're painful and tough, and you'll never look back on that person and say, "Oh, that was an easy relationship."
You're right about that. But you have angels that help you with these. Who are some of your favorites with the relationship that you've worked with? I know clients.
I always talk to Gabriel and Michael. I like those two archangels because I've worked in communication. Gabriel's communication, and I always feel that's going to help me with my relationship, because you know the communication problems are the root cause, I think, of your problems in relationship. And Michael's always the protector and the strong one, the one that gives you strength. But I also like Samuel. That's the love angel, and then Raphael. I've worked with a lot as the healing angel. So if there's a rift in your relationship, or if there's just some issue inside of you that needs healed, or if there's old karma that needs balance, I think Raphael is a good one to call. Who do you usually call?
I like Samuel, Raphael, Ganesh, because Ganesh is an ascended master, an angel that helps you remove the blocks. What is your experience with Ganesh? You know, because I know you like Ganesh and Lakshmi.
Yes, I like them both, and they're. You know, I asked him for help with prosperity, and it could be any kind of prosperity, whether it's you know, love, money. I like to ask them for help, and I've really felt like they've helped me. You know, this particular thing that I've asked help for, they helped me find the home that I'm living in now. I was really working with them when I was looking for this house. There's all kinds of people, spirit souls on the other side that you can ask for help with, and I do, you know, and it's whatever you feel comfortable with. You know, some people only feel comfortable praying to God or praying to Jesus. I like to enlist all the help I can get, because I always think God is very busy. God is very busy.
I need a little help from the other side.
Yes. Okay. He's got these helpers. You know, I'm going to use his helpers.
God's very busy. You're too funny. So I know that prosperity, you pray for prosperity. And so do you think getting your house that you have now, and I know you're the deer whisperer, so you have to explain to people about that, and getting your house, the deer whisperer that you are, and now you're attracting the man. Do you think that all of this is part of a big plan for your life?
I absolutely do. I feel like, there's I've tried to manifest that life that I want. And I am where I want to be. I'm where I wanted to be 5 years ago. You know, I would just start saying, I want to be in the mountains. I want to be with the man of my dreams. So, you know, here I am. I'm in the mountains. And then suddenly the man of my dreams comes back into my life. And it was a man that I had given up on and just said, you know, we're never going to work it out. But there's always that part of you in the back of your mind where you look back and you go, God, you know, that was the easiest relationship I've ever had as far as being compatible. But I liked the fact that it challenged me to be a better person. And, you know, the first conversation I had on the phone with him, I was saying I liked myself better when I was with him. And I think that's huge. It's huge when you realize that you're stepping up your game and you're being a bigger person just by being with somebody. It's just like they're elevating you as a soul. They're elevating you to be the best you can be. And I liked that part of me. I liked feeling like I was being a bigger person.
That's good. Yeah. I like that. Yeah, I like that. Hey, let me ask you a question. You and I talked about this. How do you pray to Shemuel and ask for help? How do you pray to Lakshmi and Ganesh? Because I know people would like to know that. You know, I want to hear how you
pray. See, I just talk. Yes, I just talk. I just start talking to them. I talk to them like I talk to my son who passed away. I think they can hear me. I talk to them like I talk to God. So I don't pray in any particular way. I'll just say, hey, I'm talking to you. You know, and I'll come from gratitude. You know, I think it's really important that you come from gratitude and you say thank you for working with me. So I'll thank them for being with me, and I'll just ask them to continue helping me. You know, with prosperity, with love, with whatever it is that I'm asking for help with. So I don't work with them in any particular way. I know I used to be more formal, where it was like I would light a candle, and I would, you know, they always say, you know, angels are attracted to the flames of candles, and so I think candles are nice. But I don't feel like I have to have a candle lit to talk to them and ask for help. So I may be in the car driving sometimes, and I just say, hey, thank you for working with me. Can you keep working with me on this?
Wow, that's nice. I like that too. So you see them as
how
like
about
friends.
You? Yes.
I just I in the morning time I meditate and I just say, hey, here's the deal. I, you know, like you, I'll say, this is, I'll say thanks for helping me. Gratitude, like I said, good point. And I go, this is what I need help with, the situation. And then I also ask why is this happening? What am I here to look at about myself? You know what I mean? Because there's so much to look at. You know, in the sense of
things. That's the biggest thing. Oh, that's absolutely the biggest thing, is what are we supposed to be learning? Because that's why we're having all these situations and these experiences, because there's some kind of a lesson in there for us. And especially with soulmate relationships, there's some big major life lessons with your romantic relationship. And so when we're having struggles with them, there's always that motivator. There's always that reason behind it, where there's a lesson for you in there. And it may be a really painful lesson, but as soon as you get it, you can move on from it, you know? And that's
right.
What I always think, you know. And maybe that doesn't mean you have to move on from the person, but that just means that you're done with that lesson, and maybe you can have an easier time, you know? I mean, that's how I look at this man that I love. I think, you know, we've had some tough lessons together, but we've learned them, and maybe it's finally our time to just kick back and say, we can enjoy this and without any problems, but it's going to cost, it still means both of us have to be the best person we can be. But we're not going to have these major struggles like we've had before, because I think you finally learn those lessons, and then you're finally ready for this great relationship without all the hardships in it. And, you know, it's, people have so many lessons that come from their romantic relationship. It's always the self-worth lessons, the control issues, you know, it's like these major things, you know, the baggage that we carry in ourselves, it really comes out with our partners more so than anybody else. Don't you think with that?
I agree, because I think in Course in Miracles it says that the Holy Spirit is the or the kitchen, the it's the laboratory to work. The Holy Spirit works with us in relationship. It's the laboratory to heal, help heal us each of us as individuals. Yeah. So that's cool. And then the angels will give, I always think angels give you answers too as well. God's too busy. You're too funny. But one right. other thing is how do you know, I know people wonder, how do you know when you got an angel? Is it just your intention or do you see colors? Do you have a feeling? Do you hear a voice? What's your experience with that?
I feel, I just feel warmth around me. You know, I never feel alone myself. I feel like there's angels around me all the time. But I mean, I never feel like Yay. I'm totally alone. I just believe when I'm talking to them, I believe they hear me. Just like my son passed away, and I really got a lesson right after he passed in how thin the veil is between us and the other side. And he right. definitely gave all of us messages that he was right here and he could hear what we were saying. We just couldn't hear him, you know. And I look at angels as, you know, just like that. I believe it's like mental telepathy. It's like if you even think to them, you're connected. You know, I believe we're all connected on the other side by thought and energy, and we don't have to have words. So I really think that sometimes you don't have to even mouth the words. You can just think to Raphael and say, please, I need help healing. Please help me heal myself. I think just the thought energy, you put it out there and they get it. But, of course, I always feel more comfortable being a communicator, talking out loud, but doesn't, you know, and some people might think I'm crazy. You know, I'm driving in my car and I'm talking to Raphael. But I believe Raphael hears me and he gets the energy that I'm sending and saying I'm right. grateful for your help and please help me with this problem. So I always feel him around me. I don't have any special signs or anything that happened to let me know that they're there. But, you know, I think some people look for signs. I don't look for signs. Sometimes they're given to you, but I don't really look for them. But is there anything? Well, you're different, Tariq, because you actually hear them in your head.
I've seen them and heard them since I was three. So am I coming through okay? Cause okay, good. I need to make sure. I've always seen them and heard them, you know what I mean, and they've shown up like that. But I know that some people, your intention to talk to them is the biggest thing. But I've had clients mm-hmm. and they say, okay, I always see like a certain color like pink. And they'll actually see it, you know what I mean, in their mind's eye, or sometimes they'll actually see it. They'll get a song and they know that the angels are trying to talk to them. But the biggest thing, I think, is you're right, is that it's their intention, you know, to say, I want to connect with Archangel, whoever, you know what I mean, or Lakshmi or Ganesh, you know. So, and they're always there.
Uh-huh.
But we've got to be willing to listen, I think, so too as well. That's the thing.
Right.
You know,
you have to be willing to listen to the messages, because sometimes they're not going to say what we want them to say. You know, sometimes the message is not going to be to our liking, you know, and I think that's key, too, in realizing sometimes that you have gotten an answer. It's just not the answer you were hoping for, but it's still going to be a good answer for you and your life. You just don't see it right now, and I know that's so hard for people, especially when you're in love with someone. It's so hard if you get the message to let them go. That's the hardest thing in the world, is to say, I'm going to let go of someone I dearly love because, you know, I'm just getting the message that it's just not working right now. And, you know, I've gotten that message multiple times. And you know, I've let go multiple times, but it's hard to let go. And, you know, we all want that great love, that connection, and we want it right now. So we meet someone, we fall in love, and we want to stay with that person. We don't want to have any period of estrangement like I've had. You know, 8 years is a long time.
But you got your guy, and you got the sweet relationship, and I know it's been challenging, but hey, here you are.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean? So
yeah. I feel like neither one of us were ready for it, even though I thought I was ready 8 years ago. I had a lot to learn. I had a lot to learn that I have learned, and I think I'm a better person, and I'll be a better partner because of it. And so, you know, sometimes you meet the right person, but it's at the wrong time. And you just have to trust that if it truly is the right person for you, they'll come back. And they will come back in your life at some point. And that's hard to trust. But I think that trust and that belief that God is going to send you the right person, that's what makes you attract it sooner. When you really believe, I'm going to get the right person, you do attract it sooner. And I was, you know, at this point of saying, I don't know who he is. I'm just saying I'm seeing the right guy's coming. And boom, this one is the one that came. You know, 8 years ago, I would have given my right arm for God to say, yeah, that's the right one. But when I got to the point of saying, I've let go of any form of man, I don't care who it is. I don't care. I'm not looking at a particular face. Whoever's the right one is for me. And that's the right, and that's the one that God said, yep, this is the one. So, you know, the letting go is so huge, and you've taught me so much about that. It's just when you let go finally of the outcome and you let go of the person, that's when all of a sudden it opens up and starts moving quickly to you.
let go. Yeah, you're right. Hey, let me ask you a question. Pause moments when you're not getting an answer. I know you and I both, I'm sure a lot of people have went through that, where you're not getting an answer. Pause moment. What does that usually mean to you in your experience? Pause moments where they're not hearing you. So what does that mean to you?
Right. Oh, it feels absolutely like nobody's hearing you. And it makes you angry. It makes you frustrated. But it's that time that with the real you comes out. I think the true you comes out during that pause moment when there's no movement, there's no love in sight, you know, you feel miserable, you feel like you're stuck, the person you love is not stepping forward, you know. That's when the real you starts coming out, your true character, your soul. And that is where all the work is. That's where God is really forcing you to work on yourself. And so you have to look at those pause moments as saying, okay, I'm not going to get the results I want until I do the inner work myself. And that's when you really have to start internalizing, looking at yourself, looking at your behavior, looking at your motivation, and saying, you know, am I the best partner I can be to myself? Am I being good to myself? Am I showing myself love? Are there parts of me that I need to work on? Because maybe that's why God put me in this pause moment, because there are things that I need to fix inside myself before he's going to open up the heavens and send my great love down, you know. And so that's where all the work is, I think, in the pause moment, don't you think?
I do. The pause moment's huge. And then when you get the pause moment, then it's like, and if you stop and say, and quit talking and listen, that's hard for me to do, just to quit talking and listen and say, okay, show me what I need to work on, rather than why isn't he calling or why aren't we dating? Show me what I need to work on within myself. Huge. And then when you get that, then when you meet the guy or the girl and they're calling and you guys are communicating, like you're experiencing now, but it's amazing. But I remember when you went through some pause moments recently, right? It was challenging.
Yeah.
And
like a year's worth.
I want a relationship dream.
Bear in mind.
Remember that?
Yes. People need to bear in mind when we say pause moment, it could be a year or five.
That's funny.
It's not just a moment. It's months and months of grueling agony. Or in my case, that's what it is.
Do you remember three? Don't tell me soon. Soon means months when you say it. Like, okay.
Yes.
I'll say soon.
Oh, my gosh. Yes. I got to tell people, you know, clairvoyants are awesome, but there's no sense of time on the other side. And so when they're getting messages from your loved ones or your angels or God, whoever they're getting their messages from, And they give you some kind of a reference of time, don't believe it. Because what we connect, you know, Therese says, this is going to happen soon. And I said, Therese, to me, soon means within the next couple weeks. To my angel, soon may mean 6 months or a year from now. To me, that's not soon. But they see things differently. Time is not relative. And so unless somebody says, oh, yeah, it's on this date, you know, they see you doing this on this date, it's really hard. It's just frustrating for those of us who want immediate gratification.
I hear you.
I laugh. Yes. But, yeah, the pause moment, I mean, you've seen me go through. Yeah. Yeah. But for you, it's 3 days.
Funny, yeah, Therese, right.
She'll say I'm going to get over this in 3 days, and she does, which is amazing how you can do that. I think that's a gift that all of us would like to have, where we get our heart broken and we just tell ourselves I'll be over this in 3 days, and 3 days later we're over that. But you truly can do that, and that, I mean, that's like, that's something that you should be able to teach people. We say,
you know, it helps me with that. But I know you have to, there are people like you that have to go down in the depth to figure out the answer. And you connect with God, connect with your loved ones, you connect with the angels when you do that, mm-hmm. right? So it's okay to do that, right? That's how you get your answers. I do pray you do a little bit more time. But, right, so when someone gets down and out and they're struggling, what's your thoughts on that? Because I know that's something that you've done, and that's how you get your answers. So,
I've really struggled. For multiple years, I've struggled on, you know, just feeling hurt and feeling anguish and, you know, unrequited love. It's like you feel like, God, I've given everything I can to this person, and they're just not loving me back, you know? And I wish there was an easy way, and there's just not. It's just like the dark night of the soul. It's like you go through this period where it's just this bleak period, and you hate yourself sometimes, and you pick yourself apart. But it's almost like I'm one of those people that has to go through that and really go through go down to the bottom of the barrel before I can finally start climbing my way back out. And it's like I have to feel the agony. I have to feel that heartbreak. And I finally have to, you know, let go of my ego. Because the ego attachment to the outcome or to the person, I think that's what we struggle with the most, is our ego's attachment to something. And so I've worked a lot over the last 10 years, really, on my ego and conquering my own ego. So that it doesn't interfere with me or my relationships, because I know it wants to. My ego always wants to take control. That's what it does. It's a me. Right.
Yeah. What does that mean to you? Like, you find your angels, you find God, you find Jesus, you find Holy Spirit, Buddha, whoever it is, your higher power, when you go down to the depths, or when you go down and you're so hard. You know, people say that depression, but I'm not sure it is. I think it's a way for something, or to get an answer. For you, it's a way to get an answer and come back.
Right. It is. It's the way to get an answer. It's the internal work. It's that internal work that you have to do in order for you to grow your own soul and grow as a person, as a human being, as well as a soul. It's the gut check. And you know, for me, I've got to wallow in it. I've got to be miserable to really have that gut check and really look at myself and say, okay, did I make the best decisions? Was I coming from an unselfish part of me when I, you know, initiated a argument or something with someone? You know, was I really looking out for my higher self when I decided to leave a relationship? You know, because that's what I've always struggled with. I realize when I'm in this relationship, it's not right for me. I make the decision to leave, and then I spend the next 6 months looking back going, was that a right decision? Was that the right decision? And I have to really spend time alone, and I think that's the problem. People hate spending time alone. They don't want to do the internal work. They don't want to look at themselves. And so one relationship ends, and they jump right into the next one because they don't want to have that time alone where they really have to look at themselves and look at their own messy closets and sort themselves out. And I think they're doing them a disservice, as well as their next partner a disservice, when they're not taking that time out to really their own work, which I have never been guilty of. I wallow for a year after every relationship breakup.
Funny. How valuable, in your opinion and your experience, is prayer and meditation? I know it is for me, but what about you?
Oh, it's completely, it's invaluable. I mean, you know, just talking to God, talking to whoever it is that you pray to. I believe they hear me, you know, and I was joking when I was saying God's so busy, but I believe he's got these helpers there for a reason, you know, but you feel less alone, because sometimes you are very much alone, but just by talking to someone that you believe, you know, is listening on the other side, it suddenly makes you not alone. I believe they are listening, and I believe they will help you when you reach out to them, just like a friend. You know, it's like my friend. If my friend doesn't call and say, "Hey, I need a shoulder to cry on," I'm not gonna know. You know, I'm not gonna help them. And so, not that I wouldn't, but I mean, sometimes I think the angels are around you and saying, "Okay, you want to get through this on your own? I understand, but if you want my help, I'm here." You know. And so I think we just
agree with you on that.
And,
like, you ask.
Yeah.
Part of the lesson is
yeah.
asking. You betcha. Okay,
yeah.
That's a good point.
I do. Yes. Ask and they will help you. But I think the hard part is realizing that they're helping you when you're not seeing any immediate relief, you know, because things don't happen immediately, unfortunately.
So asking,
things are slow here.
Prayer is when you're asking. Meditation is when you're listening. That's what I think.
Yes.
Right? So then you've got a lot of meditation too.
I agree. I agree. And I think meditation is also just key for relaxation, for your mind and body, your spirit, just to relax, and it helps you be open to the help. You know, it helps you be open to the good things that are coming your way, because I think we get so clogged up. Our energy is just clogged up because we're all in our own little world and we're all wanting something so bad that we're not open to something else coming. And so, you know, especially if we're attached to this one person, you know, I want this one particular person. And sometimes God is trying to send you somebody else who will be better for you, but you're not open to them, because you're attached to this other one. And I think meditation really helps you open up to whatever is coming your way that's right for you, that's meant for you.
Right.
And, you know, I think meditation is key in unblocking yourself. But it's absolutely, you know, you get all these kind of like symbols and impressions, and I'll get flashes of really old memories sometimes, and sometimes I'm like, why did I think of that?
Yes. Well, I agree with you, what you're saying about meditation. How about water and when you meditate with water? I know that you've gotten a lot with that, using water, like taking a shower, a bath, or whatever.
Yes, a bath is almost like a conduit. It's almost like a conduit for the other side, and I don't understand why that is, but I know it's true. I can meditate better if I'm laying in a bathtub. I can connect with my you know, higher powers around me better when I'm laying in the bathtub. I can get better psychic impressions myself when I'm laying in the body of water. And I think water is just it's an interesting way to, it somehow it helps me connect better. And I don't know why that is. Do you know why that is?
it's an energy, it's a conduit. I mean, it can literally over time wear things down, right? So I think that it allows, it quiets the inner, the mind, you know what I mean? And so we can find that part of us that's connected to God, the angels, easier. But
yeah.
And feel.
Well, that helps.
You know.
That helps me with meditation. Or just,
yes,
or just
I remember
trying to be open. Yeah.
To
for your chakras. Yes. Yes.
Yeah. Yeah. Realigning your chakras is also really good for meditating, lining them up, and doing a chakra meditation. And then, but water chakra meditation, angels, the angels that Raphael, Shemuel, and Lakshmi and Ganesh and God, of course, and Buddha, Jesus, whoever you know your higher power is. That's amazing. They're wonderful to use. And taking a bath or taking a shower and using water and just saying, hey, talk to me, is always cool. Because I know you got messages like
right.
that, too, as well. You know?
I have. I've gotten a lot of messages, yeah, when I'm in water for some reason. but I get messages, just random things, all the time. You know, I may be sitting outside. I love nature. I live in the mountains, and I you know, you call me the deer whisperer. I sit out there and feed the deer, and they come up, and the one eats out of my hand, and that's when I'm really connected. I feel very connected with, you know, all that is. And that's when I will get a lot of psychic impressions. When I'm sitting out on my deck, looking at the deer, feeding the birds, I'll get things that come to me because I'm completely relaxed. I'm not, you know, thinking about anything else. I'm not wanting something. My mind is not attached to a desire that I want. I'm just enjoying it, taking it all in. And that's when I'll get, you know, things that just pop into my head. So it's like I'm not even in like a conscious meditation state, but it's almost like that. And I think anything that you do that really kind of connects you and with nature and the world around you is helpful for opening you up to messages. At the beginning of the show, we were talking, about like Valentine's Day sweethearts, and I don't feel like I've given people a lot on that. But the whole thing is, we've given them a ton on that, because finding your soulmate
that
is all about finding yourself first and being happy with yourself first. And you wish it was going to happen by February 14th, but it may not. You
remember,
know?
Time. Yeah. Angel time in our time. I got it.
Soon. Yes. It's going to be soon.
I think we're running out of time. And, I mean, you've done a great job tonight. Thank you so much. But to connect with this, go to Dear Angels. We've got a new book coming out. And Angel Coaching on Instagram. And Facebook, and we'll talk about romance angels, maybe next week with a lot of other things too as well. So we have romance angels. I think you've got a lot of romance angels on your life right now. So I've got a lot of running.
Yeah.
Okay. You know.
Romance angel. Yeah. You've got a runner angel. That's right.
Yeah. Got a few of them, thank God. All right, everybody. So let's just say goodnight and have a great now. And we'll see you next Tuesday night at 5 p.m. West Coast. And 8 p.m. East Coast and 6 p.m. Mountain Time. So take care. Have a great night.